This meeting is being recorded.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White. I am your host for Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is the place where real people talk about real things that they live for real, all on purpose. Today, we have a guest by the name of Sandra Kuz, who is an author of her book, Journey to Yourself, How to Heal from Trauma. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Thanks so much, Edna. It's so wonderful to be here.
Oh, so we're so excited to get into, you know, Journey to Yourself, but we're not going to talk about it just yet. I want to ask you, for my audience sake, how do you show up in the world?
Well, I am a former trauma survivor. Okay. I fully healed. And on my journey, I found my purpose in helping others.
Okay.
And that's how I show up in the world.
Wonderful. Okay. So what's your story around the journey to yourself and how to heal from trauma?
Well, my personal story, which led me to writing my book at some point, is that when I was 12 years old, I was molested. When I was 14, I was sexually harassed. Between the age of 16 to 17, I was bullied in school. Between 19 and 25, I was sexually assaulted multiple times. At the age of 22, I was raped. And as if that wasn't enough, when I went to see a psychologist and for help to release my trauma, he dismissed me after the first session saying, "I think you already worked through it all. What am I supposed to do?"
Whoa.
So that day I hit rock bottom, and then I had a choice. I could stay all the way down, or I could climb back up.
Right.
Well, sitting here today, you can see which part I chose. I chose to climb back up, and I learned so much about trauma and what really has to happen to heal, which gave me a complete new perspective. So what I'm trying to do is revolutionizing the way we heal trauma by encompassing everything, not just the physical and mental, but also the emotional and spiritual aspect. So really, I want to go into releasing your trauma, releasing all the limiting beliefs, self-sabotaging behavior, conditioned behavior, and on top of that, everything that you carried on from your ancestors and generations past. So anything that could stop you from living life as your true authentic self is what I help you to release.
Right. And would you say that you're saying that, you know, in the healing, there's, you know, steps. And I am also a survivor. I will never say that I am totally healed. I will say that I've grown my child up to a certain age. And right now at this age, I'm still unveiling onion peels at this point. Like, I mean, I found out some more stuff that needs healing because I've learned that sexual abuse at a very early age takes away creativity, takes away imagination, takes away the will to want to be what you were made to be, a child. And so my question is to you, what are the steps? What do you say about the steps? You know, you're saying healed and then there's healing. And my understanding, I would like to know, why do you say healed when healing is a continuous thing? Why do you say healed? Like, well, it's done.
Because I did all the onion part. I revealed layer after layer after layer. And for me, there is no trauma left.
Okay.
Now, whenever I up level, like in my business, going to the next step, there is limiting beliefs. You know, when you get into the next
chapter,
then you release those and those are like little onions still, but the trauma itself, there's nothing left.
Right. Okay. All right. So it's level after level. So it's different levels. It's not all the same level. So the trauma that you went through, you've gotten to that level, that's healed. I agree with that. Totally agree. And then you move to the next level. You move to the next level. Yes. Got it. That makes sense. What's one of the major steps in hitting those levels, even in healing? Let's say from five, I'm 5 years old. My child was, my little Edna was hurt at five. okay, the age of five, and it continued to about, you know, 15 years old. Mm-hmm. What's one of the major steps in healing in that you've come across or you've journeyed through?
Well, the one thing that always stood out for me in my own journey was self-reflection. Uh-huh. So basically when I realized I was being triggered by a memory,
mm-hmm. right,
to really understand the memory and work through the emotions so that I could release mm-hmm. it. That's really what it comes down to, because we can release the trauma.
Gotcha.
We just have to work on that. And it can be okay. gentle. You know, we right. just have to diligently work on that. I always tell my clients, you know, every day you do not work on healing your trauma, trauma wins. Don't yeah. let trauma win. Push through.
Yeah, gotcha. Absolutely.
You can do this.
Absolutely. It wins. Yeah. When you talk about triggers, can you share with us what that looks like?
Sure.
Share with the audience what that looks like.
Sure. Well, a trigger can come from anything. It can come from a smell, from a word, the way someone says something. It mm-hmm. happens a lot in relationships. That's why you have a husband and wife who say, I cannot talk to this person. It's impossible. Because yeah. they trigger them. You know, mm-hmm. they made something totally innocent. But if as a child your parents said something similar or the similar tone of voice,
right.
that
right.
can really trigger something. So it's not the partner's fault. The partner was just, yeah, the pressure cooker at this point. You know?
Yeah, right.
Surface.
Yeah, right.
So understanding yeah, right. trigger. A trigger is like a defense mechanism of the body. Okay. Saying basically, you know what? We felt like this before. We heard this before. Not again. And all those emotions mm-hmm. rush to the surface. We're completely on emotional overload and we lash out because we're completely taken over by our emotions.
Right.
That is a trigger. It's not about what happened. It's about the memory of what happened.
Right. Yes, it is. It is totally about that. Now, a lot of the times triggers have a lot to do with emotions. Share about, you know, what the triggers do to your emotions, and then your body kind of gets involved with that.
Well, when we're being triggered, we literally see red. I mean, there's nothing mm-hmm. you can do in the moment. You cannot stop it, mm-hmm. even if your life depended on it. It's yeah. impossible.
Right.
So
I agree.
You know, there's so much going on at the moment that we have to figure out what we're actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like the stomach feeling, or it's like in the chest, there's pressure, right. or it's just like we feel all of a sudden inadequate. This happened right. to me once when I was still working through my trauma from my childhood, and mm-hmm. I was cooking, and my husband said, well, you know what? I didn't really like this food too much. And I was standing in the kitchen for an hour making a delicious meal, and then he has the nerve to say he didn't like it. I was so triggered.
You hurt my feelings. I was cooking this all day.
Pretty much.
And, you know, come on.
Yes. And I felt like I wasn't yeah. good enough. I couldn't do anything yeah. right. So that's a mm-hmm. childhood issue. Now, today, yeah. I don't get triggered by that anymore because I worked through that and released it all. But back then, oh my goodness, my poor husband. But you right. see, it was, in that moment, I felt like I tried so hard and it was not good enough. And mm-hmm. this was never good enough is a childhood issue.
Right.
He didn't know what hit him. I didn't know what hit me. But I had to process and work through it and release those limiting beliefs.
Right, right.
And then okay. the trigger was gone.
Right, right. Okay. So what are one of the limiting beliefs? Because I know my audience, they hear me talk about them all the time and I share them. But on your journey to yourself, what are one of the limiting beliefs that kind of stopped you?
Or for me, it was fear of rejection.
Gotcha.
Fear of rejection and fear of failure. Those two classic ones.
Yeah. Right, right, right. That makes sense. And how does that look? And as an example,
well, fear of rejection is not speaking up. not voicing your opinion out of fear someone may not like you if you voice your opinion.
Right.
As a child, you were supposed to be quiet and let the adults talk. So when you had an opinion, it was not heard. It was not valued. So you had to be nice and had to be calm and everybody liked you, especially as a girl.
Yeah, especially as a girl.
Yeah, and fear of failure is such a ridiculous fear because it's not about failure at all. It's about what other people think if we don't get our goals done. So it has nothing to do with failure. It's all about, because imagine a child that runs around and falls, looks back, mother is there, child is crying. Mother is hiding, child falls. Child looks back, mama's not there, okay, let's go and run.
Yeah.
So, same thing, we're afraid of what other people think.
Right.
Not
other people,
about
messing
up at all.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a good example, audience. I want you to know that Sandra's really sharing a good example. And I like the fact that we always need examples sometimes because we hear these things. Sometimes we hear like limiting beliefs. So what does it look like? You know, share what, you know, what does it look like? Because we may not know what it looks like. Sometimes it looks like for us, normal, right?
Yes,
right? Are you going to say that? It looks normal. So who was your supporter during writing this book? Because I know healing from trauma and you're voicing it and some oppositions around, you know, but who was your main supporter?
My husband.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of, would you say there was a lot of opposition, or a lot of, you know, chatter about, oh no, don't tell the story. Don't tell a story.
Yes, I remember the first time I wanted to talk about my story at a local event. I talked to my mother about it, and she was like, are you sure? What would your husband think? What if it's in the newspaper and your neighbor reads it and talks to him about your trauma? And I was like, yeah, so?
Right.
Well, she has become a great supporter.
There's always opposition, always. It's always some opposition. Always. So was it freeing for you to share your story and talk about it? Like the more, I know for me, the more I talked about it, shared it on a TV show, shared it in different places, shared it just writing, shared it, you know, in a book, I felt it was more like the weights were lifted, you know, I felt lighter and lighter and lighter. What about you?
Well, the very first time I shared my story on stage, I was terrified. It was while I was still writing my book, it hadn't been out yet. And I knew I wanted to put myself out there and inspire others, but fear of rejection, you know, how do they, what they think?
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yes, very familiar. But I did it anyways. Because when you have a fear, you push through and do it anyways, because fear is an illusion. Because once you did it, you're not afraid anymore.
Yes.
And that's the key. So I did it. I talked about the first thing that happened to me when I was 12, told that story. And the feedback that I got after, it was so moving. So, and that's how I learned that for me, it's important to share my story. It's not for everyone, but for me, that's exactly what I need to do. And I tried to go climb up the ladder. TEDx is still on my vision board. COVID hit, and so I had to put everything on hold.
But, sounds familiar.
So now I'm moving back into that direction because it's still one of my big dreams, sharing hope and my story on a big stage.
Well, it's never been, I've been asked to submit one, but it's never been my dream. When I told my story, and I'll be like really quick, I told my story and it was in like a local paper or something like that. A commentator from CBS who had his own show, his name was Al Gore, called me and said, I'd like you to tell your story. So first of all, I didn't know who he was. Like I was like, you know, I was like, you know, so I was like, oh, sure. So I started telling my story to him and he's asking me questions. And I didn't know, you know, because sometimes you think, you know, you're just like you and I didn't know his show was live. So people started asking me questions. And I think at that moment, I became the bravest I ever was. Cause I was like, it was free for all, for everyone to ask me any question they wanted. So I had to make sure that I was over that part. Like, so I never wanted to do a TEDx. I never did, because I felt like, I guess God has really shared my story around the world already, but I really want to change, you know, talk to the masses. And I know you do too. That's really something that, and I'm glad that you want to do that. I really am, because that story, well, our story is not told enough. It's not told enough. And all of us are in a little corners telling our story, but it's important that it really, that somebody comes to the forefront and talks about what happened with us. And because your story is my story. Mm-hmm. Just happened in a different location. That's all. And the reality of it is we suffered. Same story. Mm-hmm. And now we're thrivers. So I'm really proud to know that you want to do that. And I'm sending you good vibes to be on the next TEDx. Good vibes to be in the next TEDx. They'll call you a little bit. They'll call you. Hey, you want to be in TEDx? Sure, no problem.
I'm looking forward to that.
No problem. So how can we find you, the audience? How can we find you?
Well, the easiest way to find me is on my website.
Okay.
Very easy. It's riseaboveyourstory.com.
Nice.
You can find me on my newly revived YouTube channel, where I share bits and pieces about trauma and trauma healing. You can find me there also under Sandra Kuz. And the channel is Sandra Kuz Unfiltered.
Okay.
Then Facebook, Rise Above Your Story. Twitter, Sandra Kuz. So it's as my business name or my real name. It's very simple.
Okay. Well, Sandra Kuz, we really appreciate you being here. Is there any final words of encouragement for our audience?
Well, yes. Could I quickly share info about my book?
Sure.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, Journey to Yourself is not just my story. It is also a guide. Because I completely demystify trauma. I pick it apart in every little aspect so to make it easy to understand and digest. And I add exercises, room for notes, and really guide you on your journey through healing.
Okay.
And it's book one of a trilogy.
Oh, it's one of a trilogy.
Book two is coming out this year.
Okay, wonderful. All right. So is that your final word for the audience, or would you like to share a final word?
My final words are, trauma is not a life sentence. You have the power to heal.
That's wonderful. Well, we really appreciate you, Sandra, for being here. Thank you, audience, for being around, because you could be anywhere else, but you're here with me today. And we're having such a great time and learning all about trauma and learning about Journey to Yourself and how to heal from trauma. Thank you so much again, Sandra, for being here on Keeping It Real on Purpose. This is your host, Edna White, saying goodbye for now.